Worship him and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Isn't it a great thing to come into the presence of the Lord and just feel his presence, feel his power, and just be conscious and be aware that you are in his presence and not in the presence of the devil? Give him a bigger clap as you take your seat. God bless you. Powerful, powerful interpretation of the songs. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Welcome to a Harvest of Miracles service. And this morning, very, very quickly, it's our month of prayer. So you heard a prayer song just now. We'll speak very, very sharply on the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. Our objective is to understand why prayer is necessary. Luke chapter 18 and in verse 1. And he spake a parable. Unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. So there are three instructions we just received from Scripture. One, men, people should pray and not get tired. Men ought always to pray and not faint. God's people are admonished to pray always without getting tired. Two, we are admonished to pray. Okay, God's people should pray and not get tired. Number two, God's people should pray always with all manners of prayers. Praying always with all prayer, all manner, all types of prayers. Praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayers. And thirdly, God's people are admonished to pray like they breathe. Pray without ceasing literally means pray like you breathe. The only thing we do without stopping is breathing. You can take a break from food. You can take a break from water. You can even take a break from sleep. You want to read. Nobody takes a break from breathing. Break from breathing equals death. So when he says pray without ceasing, it means pray like you breathe. You can, any other thing can cease, but let not prayer cease.
So why is it so necessary then? If I have the time, I'll give us up to 10 necessities of prayer. Why is it so necessary to pray like we breathe? Number one, prayer is necessary. Prayer is necessary, number one, to lubricate or service our relationship with God, our Maker. Is necessary. Prayer is necessary, general. Then number one, to lubricate or service our relationship with God, our Maker. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So our Father, which art in heaven, that is relationship. Psalm 55, verse 17. The psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He needs to hear my voice. I need to be in touch with him. I need to talk with him. So prayerlessness is proof of relationship breakdown. Relationship between man and God breaks down when there is no prayer life. So you pray like you breathe to sustain your relationship with your Maker. Why is it necessary to pray? Number two, to express our thoughts, feelings, and desires to our Maker in the act of communion. Expressing our thoughts, our feelings, our desires. To our Maker in the act of communion. In Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pant my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You are expressing how you feel, feeling, what you feel about God. Psalm 63, verse 1 to verse 2. O God, thou art my God. He's talking to God directly. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory the way I have seen it in the sanctuary. That is prayer. Many people think that prayer all the time means, Father, I want to travel, I need protection. Or, Father, I am looking for this. No, 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 no. Prayer is necessary. The same way that a man will express his feelings and desires and express his thoughts to his wife. It's not making a request. It's just telling them how they feel. Just let you know I'm happy with you. Just let you know you are doing well. Just to let you know, just to give you the assurance of my love. Those kind of expressions between man and God constitutes prayer. It is communion and it must flow continually. It must flow continually. You express the same to your children, to your loved ones. So prayer is necessary to express our thoughts, our feelings, our desires to our Maker. And I can tell you that if you can do this one I'm talking about, your request will reduce. Because he will so take care of you that your personal request from him will reduce. Number three, prayer is necessary to make amends with God in times of failure, error, sin, or transgression. Times of failure, times of error, times of sin, times of transgression, to reconcile quickly with God. To reconcile quickly. You don't want anything to linger between you and Him that looks like you are not at peace with Him. It's necessary. Matthew 6 and in verse 12, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Psalm 25 and in verse 18, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Daniel chapter 9 verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do. Defend not for thy own sake. Daniel was praying for the pardon of the iniquity of his people. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So, for the treatment of our relationship with God, times of error. In 1 John chapter 1, I believe it from verse 7, 8 and 9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not that you went out to deliberately want to sin. But in the course of your daily schedule, you may have acted in ways that were not right. Maybe you looked down on somebody with your arrogance. Maybe you lost your temper and said words you shouldn't have said. Not that you consciously wanted to do that. The Bible says that all that as part of normal human nature, without a deliberate intention to sin, that flows. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the soul that sinneth, he shall die. And there is no access of heaven to the sinner. So we continuously lubricate this and say, oh Lord, well, in the course of the day, wherever I went wrong, and the ones you know consciously, Lord, I'm sorry for this or for that. I didn't mean to do that. And I'm just so sorry. Forgive, pardon. Because the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we have to remain upright with God continuously. It means we have to pray continuously. Am I communicating? It means our communication with God should be on a continuous basis, because it is at that junction that we make amends with God. And again, I am not talking of those who are deliberate habitual sinners. I'm not talking about that. Because anybody who is in deliberate iniquity is walking their way to hell. Hallelujah. So, for that purpose, it is necessary that we pray without ceasing. Number four, prayer is necessary to access the mind and thought, will, and secrets of God for our lives. Access the mind, the thought, the will, secrets or mysteries of God for our lives. Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3, the Bible said, he said, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Call to me and I will answer you. I'll show you things that you never knew. Great and mighty things which you never knew. The altar of prayer is the altar of access to the mind of God. The altar of prayer is the altar of access to the thought of God. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 to verse 3, I will stand upon my watch
And I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved, for the vision is for an appointed time.
Even to take delivery of the visions of life, your purpose of life, hidden secrets that you need to know generally about your life, about God, happens at the altar of prayer. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 19, the Bible said that Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, or the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, as they went to pray and seek God. Somebody receiving something here today, say aloud, amen. So, for example, what is the mind of God? I trained as a medical doctor. What is your mind for my life? What are you saying? What do I do? And he's asking me on the pathway of ministry. And there are certain mysteries or secrets that I need to know about life generally, about destiny, about family. And he unveils them to me, all at the place of prayer. And so the altar of prayer is where we come into contact with the mind of God, with the thought of God, with the will of God, with secrets of God for our lives. Number five, prayer is necessary to receive the direction, instruction, or voice of God per issue, per time. To receive the direction, to receive the instruction, or the voice of God per issue, per time. How is this different from the last one I said? That last one was general. That one was general. That one was general, like, Lord, what is your thought? What is your will for my life? What do I do? Okay, in terms of what do I do with my life? And then he says, okay, go into business or get into ministry or something. Right? Or who do I marry? Who have you planned for me to spend the rest of my life with? And then he shows you his mind or his thought for marriage. That one is a bit separate now. This one is now, that is a bit long-term and general, but this is specific. Lord, I am meant to travel on a journey. What are you saying? I'm about to make a particular investment, even in the same line that is your purpose for me. What are you saying? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Now, I know his general mind that I am meant to be a pastor, right? A preacher. But I have an invitation somewhere. Lord, do I go there? That's the voice I'm looking for. That's the specific instruction I'm looking for. That's the specific direction I'm looking for. I went to minister somewhere. And I struggled to minister. By the message of God, I don't normally struggle. But I struggled to minister. I struggled everywhere. Like, everything was closed. Everything was closed. I worshiped for a long time. Everything was closed. So I said, Lord, what is happening? He replied on the spot, who sent you here? Wow. Who sent me here? Really? I'm sorry, sir. Maybe I sent myself here. And I prayed, worshiped. Then it opened. Then I ministered firefully. Unfortunately, there was still a morning session. I pleaded for the same grace that helped me last night. That grace helped me in the morning. Then, after I finished, I ran like a dog with tail in between his legs. When will you come back again? I'm not sure, sir. So we have a lot of frustrations when we move with assumption. You heard what I just said?
we have a lot of frustration in life when we move by assumption. Instead of direction, instead of instruction, instead of moving with the voice of God, we just assume that everything is okay and that all door is a door and that everything, I mean, you know, you just assume. But at the place of prayer, 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 we can access the direction of God, the voice of God. Launch your net into the deep for a draught. And Peter did.
So what have we said so far? Five things. Number one, we said that prayer is necessary to lubricate or service our relationship with God, our Maker. Number two, that prayer is necessary to express our thoughts, our feelings. How do you feel about God? In the act of communion, even at the place of worship and praise. Number three, prayer is necessary to make amends with God in times of failure, error, sin, transgression, to reconcile quickly with God. Number four, prayer is necessary to access the mind, the thought, the will, the secrets and mysteries of God for our lives. Number five, prayer is necessary to receive direction, instruction, or the voice of God per issue, per time. And this is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, where he said, stand in the ways. God said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Stand and ask. Stand and ask. Find out from me where to go, which way to go, what direction to take with your life. Find out from me. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8, we saw how David operated in this realm. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Pursue. So we receive direction. We receive instruction on the basis of inquiry at the place of prayer. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen.
You know, I have noticed that even those who don't ask questions most times are not entitled to answers. I've even noticed even in the prophetic realm, until questions are asked at times, answers don't come. There are things that will come on their own, but there are things that must be asked to receive. They are asked to receive.
Number six, why is prayer necessary? It's necessary to present our requests, petitions, and supplications to our Father. Requests, petitions, supplications. This is the place of direct requesting. Direct requesting. Lord, I'm trusting you for a change of job. Lord, I am trusting you for this or that breakthrough. This is where we are actually coming to request now. You can see where this is. That's not the first priority. The first priority is our relationship with God. And then our knowing the will of God, because it is when we pray in accordance with his will that he hears us. Am I communicating? But this is what people put first. All right? So to present our requests. So before I came to request, first of all, I had relationship with him. Secondly, I expressed my feelings and thoughts to him to let him know I love him, to let him know that he means so much in my life. And then I went to make amends and be sure that everything, my relationship with him is in order. And then I began to access his mind, what is your will for me, and so forth. And then I began to receive his direction. Then I now come on the basis of what I know to be his will, what he wants me to do with my life, and I am presenting petition. Is anybody seeing the sequence? Is it making any sense to anybody? I am presenting my petitions, presenting my request to God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Somebody say a loud amen.
Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 7 to verse 8. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So this is the place of presenting our request and petitions before God. It is a platform where we can present petitions before our God. Isaiah chapter 65 and in verse 24 gives us a promise. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Somebody who believes this shall be your testimony, shout the loudest amen. You believe that this testimony shall be your testimony, shout a loud amen. You believe that this testimony shall be repeated in your life, shout the loudest amen. Number 7, why is prayer necessary? Now, here we are presenting our petitions. Now, number 7, prayer is necessary to enforce our privileges, promises, and rights in God. The privileges we have in God, the promises we have received of God, and the right God has given us, we enforce them at the place of prayer. Hosea chapter 14 and in verse 2, he said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. So you take the word of God and turn back to him. That is what prayer does. Lord, your word said so. I am coming to you on the basis of this word. In John chapter 15 and in verse 7, the Bible speaking, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You abide in me, my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now this gets interesting in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, very, very important scripture. He said, put me in remembrance. That is the things that I have said before. Remind me. Let us plead together. Let's talk together. Declare thou that thou may be justified. Put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Remind me. Not that I'm suffering from amnesia, but just present it back to me. Lord, you said this. Somebody say amen. Joshua chapter 21 verse 45. He said, there failed not aught of any good thing we the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Lord, this is your word. All that you have spoken to my life, let them come to pass. All that you have shown me, let them come to pass. All that you have revealed to me, let them come to pass. They have failed not aught of any of the good things which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Father, let all come to pass in my life. In the year 2026, it shall come to pass. That amen can be better. You all are not saying anything. That amen can be better. Shout the loudest amen. Everything God has spoken concerning your health shall come to pass. Everything God has spoken concerning your fire shall come to pass. Everything God has spoken concerning your marriage and your family shall come to pass. Everything God has spoken concerning your children shall come to pass. Everything he has spoken concerning your preservation shall come to pass. Help me tell somebody by your side, tell them, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Give the Lord a shout of victory. So there are times, please take your seat, you gather the word. And you take to God and remind him, this is your word. This ought not to be. You have no record of failure. We just saw it in the lyric of that song. The scripture gives no record of your failure. God failed. So prove yourself. So prayer is necessary to enforce our privileges, promises, and rights in God. Number 8, prayer is necessary to access help from God in seasons of urgencies, battles, helplessness, and need. Again, prayer is necessary to access help from God in seasons of urgency, battles, helplessness, and need. We have the license to call him in crisis, middle of the night kind of situation. Psalm 121, verse 1, to the end, I'll look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Somebody say a loud amen. I'll look up to the hills. I'll look up to the God of heaven from whence cometh my help. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We obtain help at the throne of God. And I'm sure you remember the battle of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 12. It said, oh, our God, will you not judge them? The Ammonites, the Edomites, the Moabites. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Prayer, the only place to turn to for help in the present, to turn to for help, is the presence of God at the altar of prayer. But something is very, very important. God must recognize your voice. In times of peace, to respond to it in times of war. God must recognize your voice in times of peace, where there was no problem, where you didn't come to ask for anything. You came to express your love. You came to express your worship. You came to express your relationship. You must be in good terms with him. In times of peace, if you want him to respond in times of war, if he doesn't know your voice in peace times, he won't know that voice in war time. He won't respond to it. That's why somebody said something happened. I said, Jesus. And all of a sudden, help came. And that person shouted, Jesus, 100 times. Nothing happened. God is not a God to be used. He's a God to be worshipped, to be loved. We are not having a heavenly user. He's a heavenly Father. Am I communicating at all? So this is very important. This point is very, very important. It's very, very, very important. The best time to prepare for war is in the time of peace. The best time to prepare for rain is when the rain has not fallen yet. You prepare for it. Somebody say a louder amen. And so if he must recognize your voice, he must recognize your voice in times of peace for him to respond to it in times of war, in times of crisis. But again, let it be clear that we go before him. Access. Two more points and then we are done this morning. Number 9, prayer is necessary to consistently intercept and interrupt satanic plots and agenda. To intercept and interrupt. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and I jump to verse 13. When you pray, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your life. So, we are wrestling. Now, what is the final weapon of this wrestle? Verse 16, verse 18. The final weapon. Praying always. This wrestling with principalities and powers. The last weapon, which is the concluding weapon, is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray always. Pray. So we intercept and interfere with the agenda of the enemy at the place of prayer. Look at what Esther did in Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Esther interrupted the pernicious agenda of Haman to eliminate the Jews. Say, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. And she never perished. So suddenly, you got to know that there is a plot in your office to unseat you. You just knew. In fact, they did not hide it. They are telling you. And so you engaged in 3 days prayer and fasting, dry. Break in the evening or dry, or what? Just water. And you just dismantled the plot. Maybe you position some brethren around you. Take this up with me. You got to know. Someone say amen. I was going to preach somewhere. And before I went to the place, the Lord showed that an agent of the devil was coming to attack me in that meeting. So when I went there, I went ready. And as I gave the altar call, the people came out for the altar call. And I identified the agent. He didn't even hide the agency. Was looking at me with a wicked eye. Woman. Hola, hola. Lion was looking for a fight before. But I was ready because I knew that the enemy was plotting. Gave a loud scream at that devil. He was flung from the ground. In the days of Luva, crash against the glass outside. And passing through the midst of them, went his way. Meeting continued. At the place of prayer, we can decimate the devil. We can amputate their plans. We can decapitate their agenda. Am I communicating at all?
In the name that is above every name, every current agenda of hell against anyone here today, I decree it dismantled. I decree it dissolved. I decree it scattered and scattered. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen.
Take your seat. Because the devil is always planning, we should be always praying. Is that right? He is moving to and fro, to and fro. Yeah, God has Satan, where are you coming from? Self, to and fro, going to and fro in the earth, from Job to Job, Job to Job. You defeated him yesterday. He tried it. One of the things that we must give the devil an award is tireless failure. That is the most tireless failure. He will fail 100 times and return back. He has faith. Even the kingdom of darkness, you know, they believe that one day Satan will defeat God. Satan is, they believe it till tomorrow. They believe in the end that they will win. He keeps them going. That is why you be in prayers. He comes 100 times, you dismantle him 100 times. They brought somebody to Kenneth Hagin that Kenneth Hagin prayed for before. And the devil returned back. He said, I prayed for you. I cast you out the other time, devil. I have not changed my mind. Be on your way out. Hallelujah. And number 10 is very, very critical. Number 9 is to intercept, interrupt, dismantle satanic agenda. But number 10, we pray. Prayer is necessary to maintain spiritual alertness, awakeness, and watchfulness. Prayerfulness is critical for alertness, awakeness, watchfulness. So as not to end as a victim of spiritual warfare. Prayerful people are alert in the spirit. They are awake in the spirit. They are aware in the spirit. That is why prayerlessness is slumbering. The Bible says, watch and pray, be awake and pray. Prayerlessness is spiritual sleepiness. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18 is saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching. Men who pray are the same as spiritual watchmen. They are on the watch. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 41. This point is very important. Watch and pray. Praying and watching. And watching and praying, they are mutually exclusive. They are all inclusive. They are together.
that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing. That's why you must drag yourself to pray. And the flesh is weak. So you must drag yourself to pray. Luke 21:46. He said,
the same repetition. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now look at Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to verse 25. Jesus went to the mountain to pray. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had set the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He went to pray. And from where he was praying, he saw them that they were in danger. The ship was tossed with the wave. The wind was contrary. He saw it from there. And he walked upon the sea to tackle the danger. Listen to this. And I'll round off here on this point. Prayerlessness equals spiritual carelessness and casualness. It is spiritual carelessness and casualness that can end a person as a casualty. Spiritual carelessness and casualness that can end a person as casualty. This is what I mean.
Somebody woke up, somebody slept until it was daybreak. Neither prayed in the night nor in the morning. Woke up, went to the bathroom, dressed up, and stepped out. And on his way, he saw a friend saying, "Can you join me? I'm traveling to Lagos, or traveling to Kaduna. I hope to be back from Kaduna later today." "Well, why not? I'm not doing anything." And he jumps into a car that was probably marked for demolition. And on the road somewhere, fatal incidents with no survivor. Why? He came out of the house with a spirit that is not charged. Spirit that is not sensitive, with a spirit that wasn't spiritual. Signals were hazy. He picked nothing. Another one charged up himself in the morning. He prayed for 1 hour, prayed for 1.5 hours, tonguing.
And he stepped out, and the same kind of situation presented. "Are you going to be traveling?" He didn't hear anything, but the moment he heard travel, he lost his peace. "Oh, travel to where?" "Oh, really? I'm not sure I will be able to go. Just let me see you when you are back." And then he heard that the same vehicle he was to enter had a challenge on the road. That is how prayerfulness charges up your spirit. You are about to release money into a transaction. Oh, everything looks good because your spirit is not charged. Your antenna is not sharp. You are not sensitive because you have been prayerless. Suddenly, money just went like water. But in this case, you were so charged up. Everything looked fine. But something is telling you, don't. You tell the person, "Okay, give me 1 month. Come back again." Before that 1 month, you realize that it was a scam. You couldn't put your money. This is why prayerfulness is very important. It is a sharpening of spiritual sensitivity, especially praying in the spirit. You may not be asking God for money or asking for favor or anything, but the fact that you are prayerful delivers you from a lot of traps of darkness. It charges up your spirit, sharpens your sensitivity, and makes you not to end as a victim. On my journey of life, I had a couple of options that could have ended me in the wrong marriage. But spirituality and prayerfulness was so sharp by God's mercies. Signals were easy to, very, very easy to pick. A good friend of mine that I love and value, trust, very, very spiritual, saw a vision for me of who to marry. He saw it for me. And as far as your destiny is concerned, don't hand it over to another person's spirituality. People can help and guide you. But the most spiritual person can miss it in terms of direction. Samuel missed it. The Bible said his word didn't fall to the ground. Yet he saw Eliab, he said he's the Lord's anointed. And God said, Mechonu. Tikawet, like one of our children used to say. Say, keep quiet. Say, keep quiet. Tikawet. Hallelujah. You will not miss it another time. For the security of your destiny, for the safety of your physical life, please be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Not necessarily that you're asking for money or asking for anything. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be spiritual. Be spiritual. You see, carnality equals calamity. Carnality is foundation for calamity. Carnality, that's everything is carnal and fleshy. Nothing spiritual about you. Everything about you is just the flesh. Carnality is foundation for calamity. And spirituality equals authority. You cannot be bankrupt of authority if you are not devoid of spirituality. Hallelujah. So this is very, very important. In order to escape the ways of disaster and maintain spiritual sensitivity and sharpness, prayerfulness is important. Finally, my counsel. Let's go again over all the things. Why is it necessary to be prayerful? Number one, to lubricate our service. To lubricate our service, our relationship with God, our maker. Number two, to express our thoughts and feelings and desires to our maker in the act of communion. To make amends in times of sin and transgression. To access the mind, the thought, the will, and secrets or mysteries of God for our lives. To receive the direction, the instruction, or the voice of God per issue, per time. To present our requests, petitions, and supplications to our Father. To enforce our privileges, promises, and rights in God. To access help from God in seasons of urgency, battles, helplessness, and need. To interrupt and dismantle satanic plots and agenda. And of course, number five, to maintain spiritual alertness, awakeness, watchfulness. That's why I say pray without ceasing. That is, be permanently awake, be permanently aware, be permanently watchful in order not to be a victim of spiritual warfare. This is my counsel number one. Ensure that your prayer life is not surrendered to the altar of excessive busyness in life. Excessive busyness of life. Ensure that your prayer life is not surrendered to the altar of excessive activity, excessive busyness. You are here, you are there, you are everywhere. You are talking to men more than you are talking to God. Loquacity, gossip, talk, talk, talk. Have so much business activity, business meetings. My business partners just came. Everywhere, everywhere. Don't surrender. Watch and pray, Matthew 26:41, that you enter not into temptation.
That the business you did not have the time for, God for, does not become your trap. Any relationship that is taking you away from God is a disaster. Whether it's a man or a woman, husband or wife, kind of relationship that is being built, that is taking you away. Your prayer life is not surrendered to the altar of excessive busyness of life. Pray like you breathe. Nobody is ever too busy to breathe. Nobody is ever too busy to breathe.
Secondly, avoid the plague of prayerlessness that comes from discouragement and despair. That plague of prayerlessness, oh, I've been praying, I've been going to church all these years, and you wake up in the morning and the devil says, don't forget about it. No.
Psalm 34 verse 5 said they looked up to him
and they were enlightened and their faces were not ashamed. There are those who should be in church today that are not here right now. Let me just sit at home and watch. Discouragement, despair. Anything that drives you to God drives you to good. Anything that drives you from God drives you into evil. It's confirmed.
Never be too depressed for God. Too depressed to pray. Too depressed. Charge your climate with maybe tongues of fire. Maybe worship. Let something be in the background.
Since I've known my wife, she prays and she worships. Once in a while, she comes to my prayer place. What are you doing, sir? Just to be towed. It's like a towing van. Not for lack of praying myself. Say, but this climate makes prayer very easy. It just flows effortlessly. A worship music can tow you. Brutal preaching such as this can tow you. Tongues of fire, you can tongue along. But don't ever allow. God has no record of failure. They looked to him, they were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You will not be ashamed.
That amen can be better. God has not failed us, he will not fail you. Anyone saying amen, say it like a believer. My God and your God has not failed us, he will not fail you. Do you believe that he will not fail you?
He don't promise me, he did never fail. I go follow him. Listen to the one I'm singing on. I go follow him. I go follow him. He don't promise me, he did never fail. In own straightness, he did never bend. In own straightness, he did never. The Creole, the mixture of the French and English pidgin. In own straightness, he did so take go. In all straightness, he did so go. He did never bend. If he's appearing like he's bending, it's a mirage. That's the devil showing you a picture. But in this season, my God, your God, will confirm his straightness.
Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. Clap your hands, holy people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. triumph. Father, we worship you. I am fully convinced that somebody was massively blessed this morning. And who could that person be that was heavily and massively blessed this morning? Lift up your hands everywhere you are now and just pray in the spirit, just appreciating first. We'll take the chorus of that song we just sang in the church, the choir song. We'll take that chorus and then lift up our hands and pray for about 3 minutes before we step to the next level. But first of all, lift your hands and your voice. Appreciate him for the gift of his word, for the rain of his word, the flow of his word. Open your mouth for the next 90 seconds, 1 minute and 30 seconds. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. Be glorified, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Appreciate him, honor him, adore him, worship, glorify him. Father, we worship. Father, we honor you. Father, we magnify. Word to us today, be glorified, Lord. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we glorify you. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. You are here this morning in need of surrender to Jesus, in need of forgiveness for your sins. You want Jesus to be Lord of your life, and you are saying, Pastor, I want to surrender to Jesus today. Anywhere you are, place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone who prayed that prayer and you meant the prayer, can I see your hand? You pray the prayer, lift it up. Yes, I see the crowd of people right there. You pray that prayer, wave your hands, quickly stand up on your feet, and rush to the front here at the count of 20. I give you the count of 20. Be the first to be in the front here. From the galleries, from outside, anywhere you are, quickly come. One.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Two.
I give you my soul. I live for
three.
You, Lord. Every breath that I take.
Four.
Your way.
While while they keep on coming, if you are here today, you are bound by an alcoholic devil, gambling, tobacco smoking, Indian hemp, and any form of lifestyle you know God is not happy with, quickly also pick your Bibles and your bags and step forward, join us. Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You gave your life to Christ before, but you know God is not happy with the way you are living, and you want to surrender your life back to Him. Stand up on your feet and join us. I'll give you another count of 10. Join us quickly. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to drink. I don't want pornography anymore. I don't want these bad lives anymore. I want to hand over my life. Quickly from my right hand side. Come forward. One.
I've got my mind
two,
made up. And I won't turn back. Because
three,
I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up.
Four.
And I won't turn back. Because I want to see my Jesus.
Five.
Someday I've got my mind.
Six. Seven. God bless you. Those of you at the front, place your hand on your chest and pray this. Nobody moving yet at the goodness gate. Ushers, please control the movement there. Place your hand on yourself and say, Lord Jesus, and Grace Gate especially, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today is my decision to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God is released on you. In Jesus' name, amen.